Brodda made thralls of the straw heads, as he named the people of Hador, and set them to build him a wooden hall in the land to the northward of Húrin's house. And within a stockade his slaves were herded like cattle in a byre, but ill-guarded. Among them some could still be found uncowed and ready to help the Lady of Dorlomin, even at their peril, and from them came secretly tidings of the land to Morwen, though there was little hope in the news they brought. But Brodda took Eirin as a wife and not a slave, for there were few women amongst his own following, and none to compare with the daughters of the Edain. And he hoped to make himself a lordship in that country, and have an heir to hold it after him. Of what had happened, and of what might happen in the days to come, Morwen said little to Túrin, and he feared to break her silence with questions. When the Easterlings first came into Dorlomin, he said to his mother, "When will my father come back to cast out these ugly thieves? Why does he not come?" Morwen answered, "I do not know. It may be that he was slain, or that he is held captive, or again it may be that he was driven far away and cannot yet return through the foes that surround us."
"Then I think that he is dead," said Túrin,
and before his mother he restrained his tears, for no one could keep him from coming back to help us if he were alive.
"I do not think that either of those things are true, my son," said Morwen.
As the time lengthened, the heart of Morwen grew darker for her son Túrin, heir of Dorlomin and Ladros, for she could see no hope for him better than to become a slave of the Easterling men before he was much older. Therefore she remembered her words with Húrin, and her thought turned again to Doriath, and she resolved at last to send Túrin away in secret if she could, and to beg King Thingol to harbour him. And as she sat and pondered how this might be done, she heard clearly in her thought the voice of Húrin saying to her, "Go swiftly, do not wait for me." But the birth of her child was drawing near, and the road would be hard and perilous. The more that went, the less hope of escape. And her heart still cheated her with hope unadmitted. Her inmost thought foreboded that Húrin was not dead, and she listened for his footfall in the sleepless watches of the night, or would wake, thinking that she had heard in the courtyard the neigh of Aroch, his horse. Moreover, though she was willing that her son should be fostered in the halls of another, after the manner of that time, she would not yet humble her pride to be an alms guest, not even of a king. Therefore the voice of Húrin, or the memory of his voice, was denied, and the first strand of the fate of Túrin was woven.